Okay, so now our next speaker is Fernando, and he's going to talk about Sisters Resilience under Cat 4 Hurricane, lessons from Irma. And hopefully you guys are safe and your stuff is okay after that.
Thank you, Fer.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and wow, this is heavy.
It's fine.
Okay. And thanks for staying. Yes, in this presentation, we wanted just to show you some data that we have been collected after we have been collecting after Irma, and some observations that we are doing, and that we hope that can help the growers in the future. Unfortunately, we can say that hurricanes are part of agriculture in Florida. I'm showing this. This is data from the historic seasons of 2004 and 2005, where we had four hurricanes impacting directly the main citrus producing regions in areas in Florida. You have seen this graph in the last days in different layouts or different styles. This is another one. And as I told you, 2004, 2005, we had four hurricanes. And what we can see is, a main decrease in orange production. I am showing only here oranges, not grapefruit. This is Valencia and early and mid-season oranges. And we can see a big decrease in production in 2004-2005 season. Then we have a steady production for several years, and then we have a continuous decline produced by HLB effect. Until last year. Last year, because of the big effort that growers and the industry in general is putting in their groves, we were thinking that we could rebound a little bit this, but then we had Irma. And Irma impacted Florida in September, south to north, and it affected with a hurricane or tropical storm force winds the whole state. And then what we had this year was about 45 million boxes. So this is a summary of the effects that we saw in Southwest Florida mostly, and that growers have been telling us, and that we saw also in our experimental growth in Immokalee. In some cases, we had up to 60% loss in Valencia crop and 80% loss in early mid varieties. And the bad part of this also was that mostly we were losing bigger trees, which are the highest producing trees. In general, we had better behavior of trees on swingle than in carrizo, and I will talk about a rootstock behavior later with more detail. With this storm, flooding was a big problem, was big issue, and this is data from our Florida automated weather network station in Immokalee. This is just one detail. At the peak of the storm, that was 5 p.m. in the afternoon, we had in 1 hour almost 5 inches of rain, coincident with 83 mile per hour sustained winds for that time. And I can say that is true because I live 20 miles north. This storm was moving 16-17 miles per hour south to north, and 1 hour later we had a big branch impacting our roof, and yes, that was the peak of the storm. I'm sure of that. So we had flooding in our farm for three four days, And that was a big problem also for Ruth Health. And what we saw after that, in months to come or in weeks to come, was a 3 times increase in fruit drop of oranges and grapefruit. If you compare that data with the 6 previous seasons. So there was a really flooding stress, among other stress for sure, that impacted fruit drop this year. I will not show much of the destruction, but this was our growth, our facilities. But now imagine, for example, nurseries, greenhouses at commercial scale, CAPS facilities. This was total loss. So that's what the industry was facing after the hurricane. One thing that was very interesting that we saw in our farm and then we have confirmed with some growers is the effect in windbreaks. We basically have two different species of plants, trees for windbreaks. One is an eucalyptus relative, Corymbia torreliana, and the other one is southern red cedar. And this can look minor, but we have this different behavior of these two species. For example, southern red cedar behaved really well. It didn't fall down as much as eucalyptus. Can seem minor, but for example, imagine the day after the hurricane when you are trying to get into the grove, and these things slow the recovery efforts because they can be blocking roads, etc. Now this graph here shows an historic of hurricanes in the Atlantic, and we can see that this is number of storms per 100 years, and we see that the peak of the hurricane season is between the end of August and beginning of October. Coincidentally, the peak is September 10th. But anyway, this is the time when you can expect more major hurricanes, and that's not good because the peak of the hurricane season comes after 1 year of work in the grove with a lot of economic investment in the grove. The fruit is ready to be picked. Normally you have already your H2A workers in place ready to pick the fruit, and you can see the harvesting season for early varieties starts right after that, and at that time is the hurricane, the peak of the hurricane season. So the trees are loaded with fruit ready to be produced, and then I would say this was 100% fruit drop in our grapefruit block in our center, and you can see also this was a few days later still flooding there. Another effect, this was our plot of early Valencia varieties. In this case is Midnight variety, which is from South Africa and is an early Valencia, and it was ready to be harvested. I just highlighted here this fruit completely mature, so it was ready and the trees were uprooted, and we had like 60-70% of fruit drop here. This was one experimental plot that we had like 100 trees of sugar bell variety. This variety is a hybrid of Mineola and Clementine that was released by the UF breeding program, and The nice thing of this variety is that is what we think we call HLB tolerant. These trees are 100% infected. If we are talking about cities of 20, 21, something in that range, still they look healthy. They produce high value fruit for the fresh market. And they are ready to be harvested again, in this case by Thanksgiving, around those dates. They have a dense canopy, and at the peak of the hurricane season, the fruit has completed the phase two of growth and is ready for color change already. So we have these dense canopy trees loaded with heavy fruit. So the problem is with these trees is that the winds from the hurricane don't go through the canopy, so they behave like sails. So we had 60% trees on the ground. Now these are really valuable trees, and a lot of growers in our area and also in Central Florida are planting them. So we made every effort to recover these trees. It took like more than 3 weeks. They were lying on the ground because we had also labor shortage, because everybody was trying to recover the groves and our grove. But at the end, we were able to pull up these trees with heavy machinery. We were 4 people doing this. And actually, we recovered all the trees. This was October, and this tells about the resilience of this variety. All the trees have survived this spring, but this is the fall flush, and we have a lot of new flush. And also the fruit that was in the tree didn't fall. It changed color normally, and we could harvest the fruit in November. And the trees this year, they bloomed.
Yes, I'm just curious. So did you have far less drop from the hurricanes in the sugar belt than you did from, say, grapefruit? Or?
Was similar. Was like 70%. Yeah. Sugar bells, what I've seen, and I've been there for 1 year now, a little bit more. What I've seen is that they have more retention force than other varieties. But with this, when you have the, but still, you can see this is a tree that was put back, and still we have a good crop in there. But when we counted, it was like 70% reduction or fruit drop. So, but this was extreme. I mentioned before rootstocks. One of the things that we found is that irrespective of the variety, there was a differential behavior in rootstock holding capacity or response to the winds. So we had fallen trees, we had flying dragon and volcameriana, we had like 50%, around 50% of trees fall. But for example, Clio and Swingle, they behaved really well. Carrizo behaved bad. For example, sugar bells are on Carrizo, and we lost 60% of the trees. One thing that was really interesting was the impact on seed production. We are producing seeds of highly demanded rootstocks like US 897, US 942, and US 802. And there are some other locations in Florida producing also in USDA in Fort Pierce, and also Whitmer Foundation in Leesburg in north central Florida. And we found in general like around 60% reduction in seed production because of the fruit drop. And this has produced a seed shortage. So what we are trying to do, and I'm collaborating on this with Manjul Dutt in CREC, is try to understand when the fruit, or try to determine when the fruit is mature enough to produce viable seeds. Because now we are harvesting these fruits in October, November, and then we extract the seeds. But if the seeds are ready in August, September, maybe we can skip the peak of the hurricane season, or if a hurricane is coming, we can harvest the fruit and we can ensure more seed production. This is our rootstock plot, and one thing, well, you can see all the fruit on the ground, but one shocking thing that you need a hurricane force cat 4 to see this is that, for example, US 942 lost all their leaves, but US 897 didn't lose the leaves. Why was that? So we are trying to investigate this. So we have this in vitro system that is very simple, but it's very it gives you a lot of information in few time. For example, we excise these explants containing the abscission zone, and we can incubate with different hormones or substance of interest. And by doing that, we have shown that, for example, US 897 does not respond to ethylene if you incubate with the precursor ACC, or it does not respond to stress ethylene. The other two, 942 is dose dependent, and 802 it doesn't matter if you put ethylene or not, it will upsize. So this kind of things, this kind of studies we are doing also in fruit, so probably we can come up with some explanation of for why we had this effect. And this is just a summary of the things that we have seen. As I told you, there is interest in knowing when the most demanded rootstocks will have fruit mature enough to produce viable seeds. This is something that we are doing now. And flooding was a big problem, and there are still a lot of efforts in flood management that can be done. And there are some growers that are considering Cleopatra's barrier tree because the trees that we are using as barrier, like this eucalyptus relative, did not behave well, but Cleopatra did not fall down with the wind. So some growers are considering implanting those in the edge of the grove. And the final message of hope is that this year, in general, the trees are coming back. We had a big bloom and very nice fruit sets. So we hope this season will be better. Okay.